Hi everyone. Happy Monday. Happy holidays. Welcome back to Third Culture Kids Podcast. I hope from wherever in the world you are listening, whatever circumstance you're in, whether you're spending the holidays by yourself in confinement, or you're with your loved ones, or you're in your finals right now, whatever the case may be, I hope everyone is doing well this holiday season. Me personally, just a little update. If you couldn't tell by now, sadly, I am here without my lovely co-host, Leia, who is taking some much needed time with her family for the holidays in the south of France in her beautiful countryside home. I'm super, super jealous because it's literally surrounded by like the forest and the countryside. And I actually was lucky enough to spend part of our first lockdown in March there in her house. And although I miss her being here and recording this, and I feel super awkward just talking by myself until our guest comes on, I'm so happy for her, and I'm so jealous that she gets to enjoy just those cozy countryside vibes. She has her dog with her, a super cozy fire. So Leia, if you're listening, I'm sending you so much love, and you can't roast me for making noises while pouring my coffee, lol. Anyway, so back to before, how I was going to give a little bit of an update. At the time I'm recording this, my mom's coming to spend the holidays with me in Paris. I'm not going home just because of COVID, and I wouldn't want to not be able to come back to start my semester in January. My mom is coming, and her flight has been canceled twice already. So there is a possibility that I'm just going to be here alone. I have a few friends that are also stuck in Paris because unfortunately they can't go back to their home country. So just if you're listening to this and you are just feeling really lonely, you're spending it at least this time or maybe just this day by yourself and you feel like shit for it, I just want you to know that I totally have compassion for you and I relate. I think we've all been navigating this really strange and difficult time. With that being said, I'm still super, super excited for this week's guest. And I thought there was no more pertinent of a time to be talking about the subjects we're going to be discussing today. So as most of you know, I transferred universities after my freshman year. And today's guest, Georgina, is someone who I met in my first week of school, freshman year of college. I went to Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. And I actually barely talked to her, but so she lived in my dorm hall. And in my dorm hall. Why did I just say dorm hall? If you can't tell, I'm honestly like super nervous to be doing this by myself. So I sound like an idiot. Anyway, so Georgina lived in my dorm hall. My dorm hall. This is like, I think I've just been in France for too long and my English, whatever. And I think we went to a Halloween party together freshman year, but honestly, I can't remember. We hung out a few times. I thought she was super cool because she has just the most lovely British accent. And I was going to school in the middle of the South at the time. So I literally felt like the only third culture kid. Keep in mind, I didn't even knew what that meant at the time. And as soon as I came to learn more about her, I learned she's literally the epitome of a third culture kid. Long story short, and almost 3 years later, she actually has been a day one listener of this podcast. And randomly, like 2 weeks ago, she replied to my Instagram story. I think I had posted something about an episode or like to go check it out or something like that, or like a behind the scenes thing. And she replied to my Instagram story saying, oh my gosh, like, I think what you and your friend Leigh are doing are super cool. And I think being a third culture kid is something really important and it's not really talked about where I go to school. And I asked if I could give her a quick phone call to chat just to like catch up, and low key, I was going to see if she'd be interested in coming on the show. For people who know me really well, I don't really take no for an answer, which is almost to a fault sometimes. My mom tells me I'm stubborn as a mule, to give context. But we ended up having an almost 2-hour conversation because she was driving cross country, which she'll explain all this in the episode, why, where she's moved around, things like that, just updating each other on the past 2.5 years of our lives that we haven't talked. And I cannot stress enough how much this girl is legit the epitome of a third culture kid, from the UK to Spain to Nashville, New Zealand. You know, I think I'm just going to stop rambling now and I'm going to let Georgina tell you her story for herself.
Hey.
Yay! Hi!
Okay.
Finally, I can see you. Dude, how are you? Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Oh my god, wait, your hair looks so good. What the heck? I think we haven't seen each other in like 3 years. So this is like, I don't know. I just talked about in the intro how like, just it's so interesting how these things happen.
Yeah, it's cool though. It's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And you are our first official Brit on the show.
Yay.
I know, great. Like everyone's going to be so excited. Yeah. Well, I guess I just want to jump like right in, and I want you to like just basically tell me about your identity as a third culture kid, where you're from, all the places you've lived. A wild, crazy story. But I think people will be really, really interested.
Yeah. So obviously I'm originally from the UK. And I was there until I was about 9. I was about to turn 10, and then we moved to Madrid in Spain. And we were there for 2 years, and then moved to Chappaqua, New York, and then Connecticut. So it's been kind of a wild ride. It's coming up, I think, I want to say 10 or 11 years since I left the UK.
Oh, wow.
So
that's insane.
Yeah, because we left in December. So.
Yeah, because I feel like your accent, like, I don't know, you sound British to me, but it almost has this like spice, like this flair, and I can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe it's from all like the study abroad things you did, which we'll definitely get into. Yeah. But so when we caught up over the phone, you were telling me about how you went to a British school in Madrid from ages of about 9 to 11, and it was filled with expats. And actually today you miss having international friends. And I thought you said something really funny and interesting was that you never fought with them because you had so many interesting things to talk about. And I 100% feel that way about my friends now, because, you know, I've never gone to an international school until now. And I think that's 100% the case.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you kind of clash heads less, because there's some like, when things get quiet, you know how the go-to is usually you say something controversial. It's like with international friends, you're sort of sitting there going, oh, okay, well, you're going to talk about this and I'll talk about this. And you just
because you just
like,
assume that there's like this thing where they're not, you're, I don't know, like there's always going to be a cultural or a language barrier. So you're just going into it, you're more open-minded and things like that.
For sure. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
So,
just more on like third culture kid, like why, I don't know, why do you think like this topic is important? And especially like, do you think that your experience with lockdown and COVID, do you think maybe you approach it differently because like you've always kind of had a varied sense of like home and belongingness, or like where is home to you? Is there like that one place that you think about constantly? Were you able to go there during the lockdown?
Ooh, those are all my big life questions you've just asked.
I'm sorry, I'm totally putting you on the spot because like, and also later I want the tea on like Meghan Markle.
Oh no.
I know, but these are all like the, yeah. But if it's like, you can like break it apart, I'm sorry.
No, it's good. So the third culture kids thing, I had no idea what it was growing up.
Yeah,
so I feel
me
like it's
neither.
Just kind of recently become kind of a thing. But yeah, so I remember like living in Spain, we kind of held on to the British identity as much as we could, because I think the first time you move abroad, it's difficult and you do kind of like stick to that old culture more.
Yeah, 100%. But then
since coming to the US and like going to high school here especially, it suddenly became kind of weird because the way that my parents kind of wanted to parent me was not necessarily the same as the American kids. And
oh yeah,
because kind of,
so you went to high school in Connecticut, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that must have been such a culture shock.
I was not expecting things like prom to be such a, you know, life.
Such a big deal. It's like
moment.
Life or death.
And yeah, so my parents didn't get that. And
yeah, of
all course. My friends were kind of being like, the dress is so important. And my parents were like, Georgina, it's just a dance. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh my gosh, dude, I totally relate to that. My mom's like, what the hell? Why are you spending like hundreds of dollars on something you're only going to wear once? And you're like 15.
Exactly. I never think about prom to this day. It's not something, I do not have pictures up anywhere from when I went to prom. It really didn't matter. But at the time, it was
at the time, everything, it was everything of the sort.
Yeah. So the third culture kid thing kind of came in where it was like, oh, my parents are one culture. I'm living in a whole nother culture.
Mm-hmm. Wait, if you don't mind me asking, I'm just jumping around here because thoughts are like coming into my head, but are your parents both like born and raised in the UK, lived their whole lives there, and then they began this international lifestyle once they like had kids?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was probably kind of new for them as well too.
Exactly. So they did not, they had no idea what they were doing either. And I know that now as a grown up, now that I look back, and my parents don't know what they're doing. But as a kid, you think they should know everything.
I think it's so interesting that you say that because I was just listening to something the other day, or actually maybe it was my therapist that told me this. I can't remember. But it's like when we're young, we think that our parents are perfect and we like idealize them and we're like, oh my gosh, they can't do anything wrong. Like they know. And then once you hit like our 20s, we're like, holy shit, like life is really hard. And I'm pretty sure 30% of the time my parents had absolutely no idea what they were doing. And like, you can't blame them for it. Like you were saying.
Yeah. So finding the third culture kids thing where I was literally, I think my dad sent me an article. He read about it. He said, have you looked at this? And I was like, oh my God, like this is me.
Thanks,
and
Dad.
I got so into it. Yeah. It's great. Cause it like gives you an identity, you know, it's like, so my parents talking about one thing when they were growing up in the UK at my age and what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I don't relate to it at all. Cause I'm in the US doing it. And then it's
the high school years and.
Yeah. Very different between the UK and the US. So it's like, it was just nice to kind of read something where all these other kids were like, we're nothing like our parents, but we also are, but we're also nothing so like the country we're in. We're just kind of lost at sea, but here we are.
Lost at sea, honestly, like facts, like that is so funny because both of my parents are from the Mediterranean and I was just writing this paper on nationalism in media and I'm like, wait a minute, do I even feel like nationalistic towards America? Like, I don't know. I consume American media. Yes. Because like, I like pop culture and those things, but at the end of the day, it's never really been where my sense of belonging is from. And if we're being honest, it's just Europeans that like immigrated over and stole land from Native Americans. Like, I know that's like the big like argument and it really doesn't have anything to do with this, but I really thought about it. I'm like, what is nationalism? Because I grew up watching Saturday Night Live like every Saturday night with my parents and they only understood maybe 25 to 30% of the jokes where I understood between 80 and 100% of them because I grew up my entire life in Southern California. So it's interesting because like, I feel like my parents, like their nationalism to America is different than mine is. I don't know, like lost at sea, like that's so accurate. I feel like I'm on the ship, like waving, like help.
Just mayday the whole time.
The whole time, like the entire time. But yeah, no, tell me more about like when you were in Madrid and because I remember when we spoke and so you did know what third culture kid was back then, but you just loved being in like that international community.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, you're always curious and it's like you just kind of want to know what's going on all the time. So for me, it was so interesting because I kind of got put into this school that while it was the British School of Madrid, it was a whole mixed bag of kids from everywhere, which was awesome because like I was a kid from the UK that only really knew British, like other British kids. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I'm sitting across from someone from Libya, someone from Ethiopia and Portugal. And you just have so many questions. So it was awesome because I was like learning so much. And like when, especially things like Christmas, I'd never realized that every country does Christmas a million different ways.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
like, you're talking about all the different foods people are eating and like kind of what all the traditions are. So I just loved it. So moving to the US was like kind of a double culture shock in the sense where it was like, okay,
your
this
white
is America.
Picket sent, or you know what? My English has just gotten worse since I moved to France. I made like 3 mistakes in the intro. I think I was saying like, I forgot what word, but I had to start it over 3 times. But yes, you said white picket fence.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like a double culture shock.
Yeah, because there isn't a lot of mix, especially where I was. I mean, in a lot of places it is pretty mixed, but in, you know, kind of suburban Connecticut. It's not the biggest mixed bag ever. So I wasn't used to that. And that was actually weird coming in. It was all kind of similar people. And I was like, oh, where's the interesting kind of cultures?
So I guess going back to like, because right now the topic is like lockdown and COVID.
Yes.
Do you, has this changed your sense of like belongingness to like one country or another? Like what was, if like briefly you can tell me your lockdown experience. I know the UK went into lockdown recently, but you haven't been, right?
No.
Okay.
Lockdown was, so I got stuck during my spring break. So kind of Connecticut and my school. I was in with my parents at home.
Okay. Back home, like home, Connecticut home.
Connecticut, yeah.
Okay, because when you say home, I'm like,
home is a loose term.
I was like, Connecticut, Windsor, question mark.
Yeah, there's a lot. But yeah, no, I got stuck there. And then obviously I ended up, I was meant to be there for a week and I was there for 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it was really difficult. I mean, obviously, you know, it's been
with your parents locked in a house.
And my brother and... You know, it's great for a few days.
Your voice intonation from like with my parents and my brother just shifted from like mad to like annoyed as hell. Not in a bad way. It's like you love your family, but it's just
I do. Yeah, they're awesome.
Oh yeah, no, it's just it's too much. Like there's only one. Yeah. One can only handle so much.
Yeah, but it was like in regards to kind of feeling at home. I don't know. It was. I've always kind of had these things where when bad stuff happens, like when there was the terrorist attacks in London and like even with COVID, you want to run almost towards the place that is home. So for me, it was like with lockdown, part of me wished I was in the UK and wished that I was nearer my grandparents and kind of, I definitely still have that tie with the UK being home.
I totally feel that. No,
but then I was in a house in Connecticut. So
yeah, like with... you know, when the horrible tragedy happened of George Floyd and it kind of sparked all of these, the protests, I wanted so badly to be able to go home, even if it was just for 12 hours, just so I could like,
you just want to be there just with the people that you kind of resonate with. And like,
I felt like so like out of touch eating my like croissant, you know what I mean? I was like, America's literally like hanging on by a shoestring that's falling apart.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, it was bad.
But no, I think that's interesting. Like, so I mean, for you, home is where your family is, or?
I still am figuring it out. It's, I still have no idea. And I'm kind of.
And that's okay.
Yeah. I'm like viewing it as maybe one day I'll feel at home when I've put roots down somewhere myself. Like the first time I buy a house somewhere.
Yeah.
Or if I get married and wherever he's from. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but we can
Yeah, it was like, wait a minute. But yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
No, but like, so I guess my next question is, with such an international background, what made you decide to go to school in the US rather than the UK? Because I think you mentioned before, when we were catching up on the phone about how you had this nostalgia towards Windsor, because that's where you're from and you have really fond like Christmas memories there. And you said like, it's going to be a bit different spending Christmas in Connecticut this year because it's just not the same and like new traditions that you're making. So I guess like, if you feel kind of that tether towards the UK, why did you decide to go to school in the US?
It just kind of happened that way because I think my parents have put down roots here and bought a house and you know we've all become citizens recently. It made sense. It was kind of, you know, my parents are here. I'm not going to be flying back and forth for every holiday, because even though like the UK would be home, I'd still be flying back to the US for Christmas. So it would be kind of a weird mix. So it kind of I never really looked at schools in the UK, and it just kind of happened that I stayed here. But it kind of worked out because it gave me the opportunity to study abroad. So
So tell me a little bit about that, because I think like our listeners would be really interested.
Yeah. So I went to New Zealand for a semester my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And then before that, I actually did 2 weeks in Jamaica on a May semester.
You're downplaying all of this. That's so cool.
No matter, I sound a little like a douchebag. But
you're like, yeah, I just like, you know, went to Jamaica.
I totally just did this.
Yeah.
It was a wild, because like, it was a wild time. I literally spent my summer in Jamaica, and then a month later I was on a flight to New Zealand for 5.5 months. Mm-hmm. So it was just, I was all over the place, but no, it was awesome. And New Zealand has a very English feel to it.
I could imagine. Yeah.
Colonization conversation. But, yeah.
when I was saying the thing about the US, I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to get like 5 angry emails. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're so ignorant. But like, I mean, it's true. So
yeah, it's true. We can own up to the ignorance.
Yeah, we need it. But yeah, colonization. Anyway,
not a good thing. Anyway, not proud.
Not proud of it. But yes, it's like partially your tribe, kind of. And you were telling me over the phone, which I thought was so interesting, that you became better friends with the people you met there than the people that you originally went on the trip with from Belmont.
Yeah. I have a kind of a real thing with when I like travel, I feel like it just makes a lot of sense to make friends with the people that are from there, because you're going to get the real experience. You know, if you do the touristy things, you know, you end up going to the coffee shops that are designed for the tourists. So they're a little more kind 100%. Of Americanized.
That is like Paris, like 101, is people don't.
Oh, understand. I bet. Yeah.
No, 1000%. Yeah. And it's like, it's not their fault. They just don't know, but you have to be willing and open to try things that may be uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, New Zealand, I made really good friends with one of my flatmates and then kind of her friend. Mm-hmm. So I got to go to their hometowns and kind of see that other side of things that I wouldn't otherwise have been able to see. So it was
incredible. Cool. And do you still talk to them?
Yes.
Because you told me that you're still in contact with the people you went to middle school with in Madrid or middle school, right?
Like,
or
like the beauty, while social media is like kind of the worst thing in the world, the beauty of it is
it's also the best thing.
Which is great.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. That's awesome. I guess because I do want to talk about, you mentioned before, like the citizenship and that you voted in this election, what it meant to you before that. So just tell me a little bit about what you're studying, what you plan on doing after college, and where, I guess, do you see your place in the world? Like, do you see having a home somewhere, but then maybe only being there 1 month out of the year and just traveling the rest? Or like, what?
Oh, that'd be
you know
cool.
What I mean?
Because you're asking me all these big life questions that keep me
up. Yeah, and you know, I think part of the reason is because I'm trying to get inspiration for myself.
You're just gonna take my plans and be like, great, I'm just gonna do what she said.
You're gonna see me in New Zealand. I have a phobia of tarantulas, and I know you said that they're not there, but like, honestly, if I were to go like anywhere tropical and see a tarantula, I think I would like pass out, and I'd be like, Georgina, come save me.
Mayday on your boat in the middle of the ocean.
Mayday on my boat. Oh, well. Yeah. So you're studying creative and entertainment industries, and you have a minor in corporate communications.
Yes. So hopefully I graduate, and then after that,
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. It's just like,
no, it's okay. I'm laughing at me. You're good.
I feel that so hard. And we've been talking about this on the show all semester, just these last couple, like right now, my posture has been so bad that I don't know if you can tell, but I'm just sitting on the floor, not against anything. I'm telling myself it's reverse psychology. I'm just trying to fix my posture because it's so bad. I slouched way too much. So I like was like, okay, Sarah, we're going to set this up on the floor today. Like, I have the mic sitting on my fat ass art history textbook that I'm like 300 pages behind in reading. So yeah, that's that on that. And
you've been hunched over the microphone the whole time. I'm not sure you're doing yourself any favors.
I know. I think it's just making it worse, but like, I don't know. It's reverse psychology, man. I think so. If anyone who's like, who actually knows like how I could fix my posture, I would really appreciate it. Just like,
there's a lot of people. You can literally Google it. I'm sure there's podcasts for it. Talk to a
chiropractor. You're right. I'm not practicing when I preach.
This was like minimal effort on your part, but okay.
Dude, I'm just like, you're right. It's just this semester, man, has been so hard. And I'm laughing right now, but it's like because I'm on the edge of tears.
It's either that or you cry. So laughing is good. That's positive.
Yeah. So how is that, like, I don't know, how has your path changed at all over your 4 years of your studies?
Oh, yes. I came to Belmont wanting to be that music business. Like, if you remember the freshman year, like everybody was music.
Oh yeah, that was
was that your major? No.
Second semester. Yeah, I started as commercial voice. I was commercial voice.
Of course you, and then one you semester, realized,
and then I was like, wait a minute. And then I was taking business classes and I'm like, wait a minute. I can't do accounting. Like, I cannot do this.
Do you know how many people have had the exact same story? Yeah. Accounting was what took them to the other side. But that sounds like they died. Sorry, they switched majors, not died.
And I was going to say, like, I respect those people. I respect the hustle and the people that get that business degree. I just could never do that. I could never just sit in a boardroom with, like, I don't even know, just people wearing really tight pants their entire
why are they
career.
Wearing why are they wearing pants why
I just feel like right now I'm not working anywhere, but I just feel like the I don't know, like the brand new, like, and I'm totally a victim to this because like I have a LinkedIn profile, but just our like generation of like wanting to get a job, they're like headshots look all professional, and I feel like we have this dream of like what it's going to be when we get a job in like an office one day. I don't know. And I just, for some reason, it comes to mind, like my manager, like he would be in his 40s and he would have super tight pants on, but they would just make him feel more comfortable about his job. I don't know why. I've just always imagined these things.
That is a very specific and odd, but I mean, fair enough. I mean,
I don't know. I just feel like the way that guys wear like pants says suits? A lot about them. I guess
even like a skinny. Okay, I don't think they're that bad.
Really?
If they're too skinny, they're kind of bad.
If they're too skinny, it depends on like what's going on. Like, you know what I mean?
This is very important conversation.
this is
I don't like the whole third culture kids thing. We don't need that. We need to discuss the suits thing.
But anyways, no. So please tell me about your studies and how you said where we left off before I went on that awful tangent. But was that your trajectory had kind of changed over the 4 years, and so did mine. Like I transferred schools. So like people listening to this need to know, like, it's okay if you change your major. It's okay if you transfer schools, you're not going to die. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Definitely. So I started out just like everybody else at Belmont and was kind of doing the whole
music business.
Yeah. Well, I never actually majored in it, but I wanted to go into music business, and I was doing the creative entertainment industries major, which I've actually kept. So credits to me for keeping that one. I didn't switch that.
Yeah, and corporate comm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that I picked up like a few months ago.
Yeah. My major is actually global communications. So.
Oh, cool. So similar. That's cool. So yeah, I like started out doing that, and I really was similar to like the other Belmont kids, and I definitely kind of was like, I fit in. And then as I started kind of growing up a bit, I didn't. It was weird. I changed because I just changed as a person as I grew up, and I kind of felt like, oh, these aren't
so hard.
Yeah, people. Feel that. College is so pivotal. It's like, you know, go in as one person, and 6 months so later, hard. You're a totally different person.
It's so hard. Like
it's a lot. Man.
Yeah, it is a lot.
So I actually then majored in art history. I picked up a double major with art history.
Oh my God, that's
there
my
you
minor.
Go. It's winning. Yeah.
My minor's art history.
That's cool. I love it. And I have always loved going to museums. And that's like the beauty of like when I was living abroad as a kid, is like Madrid
Europe,
was full of incredible museums. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, perfect. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to go work for some amazing art company.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ruined it for me. I don't know what it was, but studying the art, the way that they taught it. Also Belmont's art history department. Sorry, I'm not bad, just small, very, I think there was 7 of us or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like,
wow.
That we're not going to get the resources.
That, no, of course. There's nothing wrong in saying that.
Yeah. But yeah, it ruined it for me. So it ruined going to museums. It ruined looking at the art that I used to love. And so I gave up. I got back from New Zealand and I ended up just dropping the major. And I was like, I want to still be able to enjoy looking at paintings.
So after New Zealand last May is when you went into the position that you are in now.
Yep.
Correct? Okay. If I get this correctly. So this is after COVID kind of became a thing. I mean, for us, it started in March. Or was it the previous May?
It was the same here. So this was all pre-COVID, but all the figuring out my schooling stuff.
Yeah, but when you were in New Zealand, was it this past May?
No.
It was the one before
that. I was there.
Yeah, it was the one before.
When was I there? I was, yeah.
You're like, actually, I've never been.
This is all just to be on the podcast. Awkward. I was just really excited. it was June 2019 to November. So yeah, last year.
Yeah, last year. Yeah. Okay. So then you came
back.
I'm
glad we figured that out. Yeah.
You started the spring semester and you were like, okay, I need to make a change. Drop art history major.
Yep.
You kept your major of what you have now, which is
the creative entertainment industries. And then I picked up the minor at the start of last year semester. No, semester before.
Okay, in corporate communications, because ultimately you want to work in HR. So like, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh my God, you're asking such horrible questions.
I know, I'm so sorry. Don't ask me though. No, 10 I'm kidding. Years. You know what? I'm about to make this microphone picks up every noise. And Leia, my co-host who's normally with me, I'm always making noise because I can't sit still. And I'm about to take off my socks because I'm getting so like, just nervous with these questions because I'm thinking to myself, what if like someone were to ask me these? So I'm so sorry I'm putting you through this.
No, it's 10. Okay, I will be nearly 31.
Okay, the socks are removed. Wait, 31?
In 10 years?
Oh my God, I thought you meant right now. Like, you're like, okay, I'm about to be 31. I was like, what?
Can you imagine?
Dude, I'm in
like
sorry.
A college style apartment. It's like, I'm a mess. How's it going?
I was like, is this the Georgina I met 3 years ago?
It's her mom. There you go. No. God, that's horrible.
I'm sorry. That's so funny. I was like, who am I talking to? So 10 years. You want to work in HR. Yes. What's your dream job?
I won't be at this job because I'll still be too young. But my dream job is to be like the CHRO of like a big kind of fashion house or something like that.
Oh my gosh. That's
something
incredible.
I can travel with.
Yeah. So you want, do you want to have like a home base somewhere and then be able to travel?
Yes, I think so. Like I'd like an apartment in a city somewhere.
Yes.
And that'd be where I
feel exactly the same way. Have that be like my home base kind of, and then just be able to travel.
Yeah. And I don't want too many ties. I don't want to like have commitments where I can't get out of them if I want to go. If I wake up one morning and think I don't want to be here anymore and I'm going to go to, you know, France for 2 years, or maybe I'll just go back to England and do that. And I was reading up on, like when I first got into the Third Culture Kid stuff, I was reading up on all the statistics.
Yeah, wait, can your dad send me this article that you're talking about? Because
I have to find it.
I know what it means at this
point.
Yeah.
But like the rates of divorce are like way lower for third culture kids because they get married later because they don't want all the commitments.
Yeah,
because
in
they're
the
quite
US, it's like over 50% if I'm like, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, apparently
pat
we're
on
more,
our backs. Yeah, we I think we
yeah,
have
hopefully.
More resilience, I think.
Yeah.
And like
we're not being sensitive.
And just as a preface, because I know there's a lot of people who listen to the show who aren't third culture kids, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like,
oh, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so
yeah.
normalized now. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I almost envied those kids growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand why I like was different, you know, which that could be a whole other topic to explore, but it's just, I don't know. It's interesting in retrospect now as we're like 20, 21 years old looking back on this. But you were saying, so when you first got into like, reading on the third culture kid thing and you learn that getting married later leads to less divorce rates.
Yeah. So it's like, it kind of all while I like read it, I thought, I'm not going to get married at 40. That's so, you know, I'm not going to be that person. But then I was like reading about it and I was like, but I do want to
Well,
spend
if you're
my
already
20s.
31, you have 9 years left.
Can you imagine? Oh, gee.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I do want to spend my 20s and 30s traveling and just kind of doing what I want to do. And I don't know if that's like,
yeah,
I think that stems from
no,
being
why did you get quieter?
Kid.
Like, it's okay. That's 100% okay. I almost did, it was almost inaudible.
Totally for the best. I just start speaking really quietly.
You're like, hoping your parents start listening, like, I just want to do what I want to do.
Oh, I told them about this. And they
oh,
were
yeah,
like,
no,
send
honestly,
it to
I was going
to
ask, like, your parents seem so supportive. Like, just
they're the best
that you do. Yeah. That sounds incredible that you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to go to New Zealand. Like,
they definitely had a very different experience growing up. They were both from kind of small towns and didn't have a lot of opportunities. So they've definitely kind of taken the parenting approach of, you know, do what you want to do and we're going to do our best to support that, which is awesome. And I'm incredibly lucky. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. So I guess before we talk about like just you becoming a US citizen and all that, because I think that's really important. I wanted to know if you think, does birthplace have anything to do with nationalism? Like, where do you find yourself feeling more nationalistic towards? If that makes sense, because I just wrote actually a paper on like the media we consume and in what languages or from what cultures, if that shapes our nationalism. And I actually reflected on my own experience and I had to interview three of my classmates and we both were kind of just like, actually the four of us, sorry, because I interviewed three people. We were all like, well, actually we don't really know. Like, does birthplace have anything to do with nationalism? I feel like it just depends on the person, but that's why, since you've moved around a lot more than I have, I wanted to know like what your take on it was.
Yeah, I think it can like mean as little or as much as you want it to mean. You know, it's like for me, I definitely like hung on to it. And I was like really adamant that I'm like, I'm British and I'm not going to be anything else because I was, it sounds really deep. But I was like so afraid of finding my own identity that I was like, this is it. I'm just going to say I'm really, really English and I'm going to stick to that. And I totally, like living in Spain, it stopped me from kind of being as Spanish as I wanted to be. Yeah. And I just didn't take all the opportunities I could have because I was so like I'm British and nothing else. So I definitely
just to pause, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think what you just said there was really important that you almost clung on to your British heritage because you were afraid to like find out what your identity was or like you didn't know what that would mean. Like, I think that's so like accurate. Like, I feel that so hard.
Because when you don't know what it means to be from all these places at once and you don't know what third culture is, and it's like, it's terrifying. You know, going, okay, I'm not British right now. I'm not a Brit because I'm not in Britain right now and I'm not Spanish. I've just moved here. So I'm like, you're sort of sitting there like, okay, so what am I? What, which one am I? And I have no idea what I'm doing.
Who am I?
Yeah. So I've definitely dealt a lot with that. And so, birthplace is a weird one. I think it totally is up to each person. It's how much you connect to it, how much you, like when you go back to that place, how do you feel when you're there? It's like when we talked about, it's like definitely a big feeling thing.
Yeah, like the nostalgia, like when you get to go home to Windsor and like see your grandparents and things like that. So do you find yourself feeling more nationalistic towards one country or another? Or maybe it changes when you're not there? Because I know for me, I felt a lot more, not just because the fact that I could vote in this US election that we just had, but the fact that I was abroad when it happened, when I was seeing all this taking place in the media, the way I internalized it and felt, and I would feel really strongly or really not strongly. And like some days I would be really involved and other days I'm like, okay, I need to stop like reading about this. And I found that it was because I was abroad. I don't know why.
I definitely think I resonate more with the UK. And the way I've always phrased it to myself, it sounds really weird, but I'm like, if Britain and America ever got into a war against each other, again, in parentheses at the bottom.
again,
probably
one of those topics we're just going
to... Back to colonization.
it's like, we're laughing, but in French you say like, oh my God, Jeanne, like you're laughing, but it's like, you know, deep down, it's actually like a really terrible thing, you know, like
Yeah,
not at all making awful. Fun of like, colonization. Anyway, just
yeah, being. We're definitely not. But yeah, I always kind of say I would go back to the UK, I think. Mm-hmm. It's difficult because then in 10 years' time, if I've married an American, yeah. would I say the same thing? I think I it mean, totally depends on...
Good luck. And number... No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
No, I know what you mean though. That's how I feel if I were to marry a Frenchman. Like, dude, I don't know. It's so strange. So yeah, I guess the next thing I want to talk about is what did it mean for you to be able to vote in the election? And if you're willing, just kind of share your experience on becoming a citizen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this, but I think, you know, my mom's from France, my dad's from Egypt, and they both struggled heavily to get their papers. And this was, I don't know how long ago. Let's see. My mom's been in the US for about 30 years and my dad about 40. And obviously, since my dad is from the Middle East, he struggled a lot more than my mom did.
Yeah.
But I know that it's a really tough experience. And I actually have one of my dad's brothers. He tried to move his whole family to New York, but they just kept denying their papers. So they have to go back to Egypt. And it's terrible. Like, even though my dad was able to vouch for them and my dad's been a US citizen for about 35 years now, it's just really sad, like the process. And I just want to know, like, maybe because you were at the age where you were old enough to understand what was happening and going on, like, yeah, if you could just talk about your experience with that.
So I was kind of on the end of the spectrum where privilege played a big factor, which is wrong. And I went on a tangent about this on my Finsta or the private Instagram thing, where we're living in a very problematic society in the US. And that's a whole political thing.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that's so awesome of you that you can admit that.
Yeah, I mean, I bet
because a lot of people wouldn't.
Yeah,
and a lot of people wouldn't. And so, like, I think it's even harder to, like, admit that, you know?
I mean, it was an incredibly easy process. And it, you know, I've seen, like, when I was sitting in the waiting rooms ready to get my American citizenship test done and all that kind of stuff, and I would just see people looking so stressed out and panicking and kind of looking, you know, really quite distraught about it. And I was like, well, why? You know, this is so sad. And then I didn't sit there and think, oh, we're going through really different experiences. And that's what kind of what I realized a bit later on, like during, especially during the ceremony.
How old are you when that happened?
I was 18.
Oh, okay.
18 or 19.
So pretty recently.
Yeah. So yeah, becoming a citizen, the biggest problem I had was more of a self thing than it was kind of a system thing. I struggled a lot with the whole concept of my identity. And I remember bawling my eyes out one evening and I was on the phone with my mom and I was like, I can't do it. And she was like, would you, like, Georgina, it's either that or we're going to have to, like, figure out green cards or you'll have to go back to the UK.
Yeah.
They all became so citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all became citizens before me because we got the paperwork back right after I turned 18. So all of a sudden I had to reapply as an adult and not a minor. Otherwise I'd become a naturalized citizen. It's very complicated.
Oh yeah. I think I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I originally kind of refused. And especially with the political climate in the US at the time, the last thing I wanted to do was swear on a book under a picture of Trump. I was like, I just can't do it. I'm not capable. I will cry.
No, yeah, totally. Totally. So what year was this? 2018 then?
Yeah. So it was freshman year of college.
Okay. Oh, wow. So that's like two big life changes at once.
Yeah. There was a lot going on. My parents really put it in perspective. And they said, Georgina, there are people that have been, you know, are dying to become American citizens. There are people that are desperate to be here and you are just looking at this in such a wrong way. And I was like, okay, they have a point.
I mean, they're right.
Yeah, I mean, completely. And that's kind of when it all made sense to me. I thought, oh my God, I'm being a dick about this. I don't know what language, I don't need bad language.
Oh, no, it's okay. We swear on this podcast all the time.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. But like, I don't know. I just think that's interesting that, and also the fact, I think in retrospect, when you talk about this, it's a bit different. Because it's like you're saying in the moment, you know, you kind of had this, like, this realization, like, wow, I am being a dick about this. Like, There are people who want this opportunity and can't have it.
And I'm just like, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. Like, I was totally not in the right mindset. It's not your fault
because you did what you thought was best for you at the time.
Yeah. And so becoming a citizen, so my next thought process is kind of what leads into the conversation about voting in the last election.
Yeah.
I went into it. It was the way that I kind of convinced myself and changed my whole attitude was I thought, okay, forget the identity stuff for a minute. We can work like just because America,
figure out who we are after. Yeah.
Because America only recognize once you're an American citizen, they don't recognize anything. And there's a line you have to say under oath that I renounce all loyalty to my previous citizenship. And that was the line that was stopping me.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. My
parents. That was the line that was stopping me from doing it. I was like, I don't want to say that. It was horrible. But
this is the big ceremony that you were talking about.
Yeah. So you have to.
You have to renounce.
You renounce all loyalty to any other citizenship. So on paper in the US, I'm only an American and my British passport's invalid here.
Are you
that
serious?
Was what was making me cry on the phone.
Oh
to my mom.
Gosh. No, that's awful, bro.
Yeah. Cause everywhere else except.
Yeah. In your head, did you see like the queen sitting on her throne, like shaking her head at you?
Yes, I did. Just saying how disappointed. She wasn't upset. She was just disappointed.
That's worse, honestly. Not when they're upset, when they're disappointed. And like, exactly. I don't know. I'm not trying to make it comical because I know it's pretty serious. I just like have a habit of doing that with my feelings. But wow, like that really like, I don't know, that resonated with me. I never, you know, I think until I moved to Paris, my parents have horrible communication. Maybe that's why I'm a global communications major. But I didn't understand all the hurdles they had to go through. And so you telling me that they having to renounce, I mean, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I mean, my dad had to change some things on his passport that he brought from Egypt when he was applying to become a citizen. I mean, this was 30 years ago, so I don't think they'll do anything now. But
we hope.
I mean, honestly, at this point, they can come for me. My passport, like, I don't think I told you this, but I've been stopped and detained so many times, like even on school.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And it's just like, every time it happens to me, like, I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? What if this is like a 12 or 13 year old kid that's traveling by themselves that doesn't speak the language and they're screwed because they have
they're
no.
They're just confused and
Like, I'm so privileged that I have. That I am bilingual, that I pretty much have someone I could call on at this point, almost every continent, I would say. Like the last time that situation happened to me, I was on a school trip and my teacher was there in 5 minutes doing everything he could to get me out and I could vouch because I had a social security. But I just mean like, what if I didn't have that? What if I was just alone and like, I don't know, that's just, it's like then you're nobody at that point, like you're just a name on a piece of paper. So like when you said the thing about you having to put your hand, like, is it on a Bible?
No, because it's like a group of you put one hand up and you're in a courtroom, so I guess it's legally binding is what I'll say. But
do you have to say like I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the whole truth, so help me God, or no?
I think something like that. Okay. There is like formal stuff you have to say.
Okay.
I did have my fingers crossed behind my back during the line about citizenship. I don't know if that's legal or not, but
and I just like admire you so much for being honest about it, because no one can take that away from you. It's where you're from.
That was what that's literally, I was like, my mum. I mean, my parents.
Who decided that? Who decided that rule? Is it like the Supreme Court?
I think it's
kind
of just, and America's very, America is how I'm going to put it. That's my explanation. Yeah. So
you can say whatever you want. I'm as like someone who's lived their whole life in America, born in the US, like I won't get offended, but I know exactly what you mean. Like the patriotism and.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, it is a lot. I don't know if I agree with. I mean, from kindergarten through 12th grade. Well, I actually had to take 2 years of preschool or kindergarten, one of the two, because I spoke no English whatsoever.
Oh, wow.
My mom only spoke French to me at home. So I was just really confused why the other kids weren't speaking the same things as me, like the same words. My mom kind of just threw me to the wolves, basically, which obviously now I'm grateful for. But what I meant to say was, damn, I forgot my train of thought. But, oh yeah, so we have to do the Pledge of Allegiance every morning.
Yes. What's that about?
It's so, I still don't understand it. And you know what is so weird to me? It is like, honestly, the Pledge of Allegiance was the only constant in my life that I had every single day since I started school. And yeah. until I came to the school that I am now and moved abroad, and people asking me, like, literally, oh yeah, can you tell me about like why you guys do the Pledge of Allegiance every day? I could not tell you. I genuinely don't know what it's about. And we have to say an indivisible, one nation under God, indivisible and justice for all at the end. And
liberty and justice for all.
Liberty. Oh, wow. Thank you.
I know it better than you do.
So long. Thank you. But yeah, see, I haven't done it in a year. But it's like ingrained in our memory. And it's like, I don't even know why we do it.
I guess it's just like a patriotism thing.
Yeah, but like, I think the line that's the religious line, like, I don't think you should have say one nation under God.
No, I think and the whole thing's pretty controversial.
So I...
Oh, like, wow, okay.
So I'm a Christian, and I don't think that every American should have to say that's going to school. Especially kids that are immigrants coming from another culture, another religion. And I remember the kids who barely mumbled or didn't say it like at an audible tone, they would get like weird looks.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I find it really unfair.
I mean, I think the whole thing itself contradicts what's actually happening in the US. If we're getting into that, like the last line, liberty and justice for all, we'll see about that. Maybe in a few years, but hopefully. Right now I don't think that's a whole nother discussion.
No, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So I guess kind of that pivotal moment for you was doing the ceremony and you realized like how important it was. And
yeah.
So I guess going in to vote, you were happy that you made the decision to become a citizen.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And that was definitely part of the motivation behind it was I'm going to vote for the people that have been denied citizenship. That was definitely a big kind of, because I knew I had like with the privilege and like how kind of almost easy it was for me to become a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
It got into my head. I was like, okay, I've got to do something here to benefit
incredible.
Other people.
Yeah, for the people
which
who
was
don't
perfect
have the
timing
privilege.
With this election.
Perfect timing.
It was such an important election.
Yeah.
And I really felt part of the movement. It was, you know, I got to go in and vote and I was like, I'm voting for someone that I'm hoping is going to benefit the people that I saw in the waiting rooms, you know, doing their citizenship.
Scared for their lives. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, I'm going to try and do a good thing here. And while it's like one vote in the grand scheme of millions,
it doesn't matter. It still counts.
Every vote, exactly. Which is the whole thing now. Yeah.
Dude, that's incredible. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I voted by post and it was really weird getting like the official envelope in my mailbox.
I had the same thing.
I don't know. This year, it just something hit different with COVID and just, I think what I've realized through, because part of what I'm studying is just basically how we interact with media on a daily basis. And there's been a lot of, not just around the election, but I think starting from the time of all the Black Lives Matter protests, up to where we are now, maybe even a little bit before, I could argue, with COVID, because although it wasn't as bad in the US at the time, that it was getting really bad in Europe, because I think Italy was the epicenter at first. And I was actually there a week before Italy like announced that they had COVID. And I was like, holy shit, what if I have it? But I've been tested 3 times, don't have it. But what I realized was there's been so much just like ugliness and hate from both sides, I think. And
yes. And
I deleted Twitter because I feel like, I don't know why, out of all the social media platforms, not I deleted my account, just the app off my phone. I feel like there's the most just hate, people coming for me for each other. Like, it's so nasty. And like, I think the pandemic and this election there's been the most of that, but also I've seen a lot of like good things come out of it. like people coming together, people finding ways to connect during this time.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that, but it's kind of strange to see both, like to see both things unfold.
Yeah. It was definitely kind of terrifying in the US because somehow science became political. Yeah. And that was what kind of got me, where suddenly, like, Connecticut was relatively kind of liberal and everyone was wearing their masks and social distancing. So I'm kind of glad I got quarantined up there because I definitely felt safer up there. But since coming back to Nashville and kind of the discussions I've had with my friends and all of a sudden saying, you know, wearing a mask is taking away my rights, I was kind of like, what are you talking about?
No.
It definitely.
That makes me so mad.
I nearly dropped them off on the side of the road.
Like, as someone who's been locked down since March, it's like, it's those people that are spreading the virus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was like, they all went home because obviously we went home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I went and got tested before I went, and I quarantined because I was like, I'm going home to my parents. I'm not going to just, you know, hang out with my friends and then go back to my parents. No big deal.
Yeah.
But my other friends were. And they were all just like going home to see their grandparents after they'd been to a party the week before, and I was just kind of like, what are you doing? I'm like, I get partying's fun, and you know, we're all missing out on the college experience right now, but
no, we're all missing out.
Like, this is other people so in question.
It's I think depression rates in college students are at the highest they've ever been.
Oh yeah.
And I just read globally as of like last week, 80% of college students are finding that their stress is unmanageable.
Completely
unmanageable. But it's
depressing.
Like, it's depressing, but like, it's a sacrifice that we all have to make.
Yeah. And it's frustrating when we're all making it and then someone's going off and ruining it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, the US could have had a 2-week lockdown and got it under control if everybody had just
That's exactly what I think. Yeah. But I know. Nope. I wish there was a lockdown in the US. And I think because I think, you know, regardless of what side of the political spectrum you're on, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious people know I'm liberal, but like,
yeah.
I think, like you said, science became a political thing when it shouldn't have. And it's not a question of politics, it's a question of human rights. And there are literally people who are dying alone in hospitals. The lie, people are having to give birth in hospitals by themselves. They can't have their spouse with them in certain areas. I know a few months ago in New York City, that was the case, which is one of the proudest moments in their life. They can't share it with another person because of this virus. People saying that young people can't get it.
What is that? Yeah.
That is complete bullshit because I literally know at least 10 people who have gotten it, like in my
And they circle. they can die of it too.
Yeah. No, it's just like, and I think, like you said, it becoming a political thing, I think that kind of just heightened everyone's emotions on it.
Yeah. Because the election, it was what the two different parties were using. And I mean, look, a lot of the time, both parties are as bad as each other.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's a two-party political system.
I was just going to say, like, all the people, I guess, not protesting, but, like, in favor, like, post-election results, when they were happy for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, like, seeing them chant and scream in the street without masks on really pissed me off. Because I'm like, I would like to be there right next to you, but at 5 feet apart wearing a mask, because that's what everyone should be doing. And I get that you're happy about this moment, but it's like, I'm curious to see like what the case, I mean, I know right now they're at an all time high. It's almost 300,000 deaths in the United States now, as of I checked yesterday.
Everything's like glowing red on the maps. It's like,
I know, it's all red, but that it's weird for me to see that because that's how it happened in France. Because first I saw it red in Italy, and then it was popping up in other countries, and then all of a sudden we went into lockdown. It was like one day after another.
It happened so quick.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
President Macron, I call him President Macaroni. I don't know why, I just do. But President Macaroni was like, okay, well, you have 12 hours to like basically get your shit together and go wherever you're gonna go. So I was lucky enough to like be able to go to my friend's countryside home. But I mean, some students had it really bad. When I came back for a month, I was in 17 square meters, which is like a shoebox. It's so small.
Yeah.
And it sucked. Like I was so depressed. I'm still like coming out of the hole. You know what I mean? Like my mom's flight has gotten canceled twice and I don't even know. Like I know she's going to get here because she's French, but she's had to rebook her flight twice because it just keeps getting canceled.
Jeez. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess as we start to wrap up, I want to talk about things on a lighter note. And you know what I'm going to ask you? I want to get all the tea.
Royal family.
Yeah, I guess before that, well, this could go into it, but is how like us, okay, so when I mean us, I'm going to refer to as American. Since you've been living in Nashville, you still go to Belmont. The way we view British culture and patriotism in shows such as like The Crown, like tea. And obviously I told you about my internship experience, which I'm not going to go into because that would bias this interview. Yes. But is that actually accurate?
Like the aristocracy and the...
Yeah, and like Boris Johnson, like every time I see a photo of him, his hair is always disheveled and he's wearing like, again, pants that are too tight.
What is it with the... I've never noticed that.
I don't know. Oh. I just think the way...
I'll look for it now.
The way guys like dress says a lot, of, and girls too. But we only worry about how girls dress. Does that make sense? I don't know. Like we care a lot about... I'm having trouble putting this into words, but like we're always meant to like, you know, look put together and don't have your hair in a messy bun and all this. And we never look like I'm from California where guys wear the same joggers and Vans and like low rise socks every day. So like when I see a guy like dress nice, I'm like, wow, I appreciate you. Like you're putting in an effort.
I would have thought French guys would dress a lot better.
They actually do. Yeah. I think because I've been classes online. And now it's a requirement to have our cameras on. Everyone is in their pajamas and they look like they want to murder the professor. So, is the way we view British patriotism, I guess, and like just the culture in general accurate?
In some ways, yes, I would say so. Like I'm definitely a fan of afternoon tea and I've definitely kind of been the stereotype sometimes, but I think in a lot of ways, no. Oh god, the accent's a big one.
Oh really?
I don't know why, but everyone seems to think that because they talk to me, they think they can just yell at me in this weird British accent that they try and do in the US.
Like imitating it?
Yeah, it's like this weird Oliver Twist kind of Cockney. I don't understand.
Yeah, because I learned this summer there's like the Queen's English.
Yeah, and then there's so like Cockney,
there's a bunch of different like accents and dialects, but that's Oliver Twist, I'm dead. That's so funny.
People think it's okay to come up to me in a coffee shop and be like, hello, all right, governor. And I'm like, why are you talking to me? Why are you in that accent of all, and I talk back, I'm like, you're no one, like that.
Yeah, dude, I'm sorry. Like, and I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at the situation. Like, hello, like, governor.
If you did that to any other country, it would be deemed
it's so politically incorrect. Yeah, like, because you know, people from the South talk a certain way. People on the West Coast talk different than people on the East Coast, and everyone knows that because America just like is this big dominant figure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow, I never even like thought about that. The accent thing.
I can't order a coffee without someone being like, oh, could you order it again? So I can hear you say it. And I'm like, no. But yeah, no, I would say the stereotypes are kind of there. I would say they're there. I think some of them are pretty accurate, but we haven't all met the Queen.
You have what? Sorry?
We haven't all met the Queen. I don't know why people always ask if I've met the Queen, but I haven't. And then the other one is people will say like, oh, do you know my friend Steve from the UK? And I'm like, is that it? Just Steve? And they're just like, yeah.
That
like,
narrows it down to about like 5 million people.
Yeah, they think we know everyone, or like, I'm going to know your friend Mike from Birmingham.
My God.
I'm like, I don't know your friend Mike. But
dude, that's hilarious. Yeah. That's honestly hilarious. Like, because I feel like that's one thing if you're asking someone who like maybe goes to the same school, like, oh, do you know Steve? Like, I don't know his last name, but he goes to your school. or he's from the same town as you. Like, oh, do you know Steve? Like, that's still like, but it could make sense. But the country as a whole, like, oh, do you know Steve? Like,
they think we're tiny. I think they think we're like really, they forget that there's so many people on that tiny island.
But yeah.
Because it's so small, they're just like, there's like 10 of you and you all know each other.
There's so many people.
But yeah.
Yeah. So do you watch any shows like The Crown or like the documentaries on Netflix? How, like, if so, as a British expat, how does it make you feel?
I saw the first season of The Crown like a few years ago. My parents are super into it. They love it.
Really? Okay. And they're like full grown, like,
full what grown am I Brit. Saying? I was going to say. Yes, they're both full-sized adults.
I'm sorry. My English has just declined. Like, it's so weird. I go to an American school, but then all day I speak French. Like, dude, I'm so sorry. I meant...
They're full-grown Brits. I'm a half-grown Brit. Actually, I should be full-grown at this point.
I'm so sorry. No, I was thinking, like, you know, this is going to sound awful, but, like, a dog is, like, 100% of one breed or not.
Like a purebred. So like my parents are purebred
Brits. Yeah, they're purebred Brits grown and raised in Britain. Like, that's not bad to say, is it? Because that's what I meant.
I don't think so. We can play the ignorance card on this one. We don't know.
I have no idea. If it is, I'm genuinely sorry because that is not what I meant. What I meant in lieu of that adjective, they were born and raised in the UK, live their whole lives there, do not have the same upbringing that you did, and they watch, they consume this media and they enjoy it.
Yes.
Is what I'm trying to get at.
Yes. Because The Crown has kind of got a reputation of not being too biased. They try and be as factual as possible.
Yeah. I mean, if they like do something wrong, won't the Queen like sue them, or it doesn't work like that?
I have no, I don't think she's allowed to really do anything. Really? Like she doesn't that's the thing
much,
that I think also get, yeah, because people we like kind of talked about this on the phone where it's like, everyone thinks the Queen, like someone said to me like, well, in America, I have freedom. You have the Queen, so you don't have the same freedom. I'm like, the Queen does nothing. She would never sue anybody. She, like, it's all kind of formality, but
and
plus they've got a reputation to uphold. They're not going to start, you know, wars or, you know, doing. They don't control us at all, so it's kind of
But don't abortion, doesn't part of your money go to them or no? That's always been my question.
Yeah, taxpayers kind of
dollar goes to the Crown.
Okay. Yeah. But we're not complaining. We do love them.
That's what I wanted to get to, is like, because you said like you love the British family.
Yes. Okay. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, so what's, I want to know your honest opinion on Meghan Markle.
I love everything she represents. The royal family for a long time has been this very kind of specific group of people that look and act a certain way. So I loved that we were getting some culture into the British family, and we needed that, and it's great.
Yeah.
The sad part is that she has moved Harry away to LA. And that was what kind of got me. And I've kind of like, I talked to my mom and my friends about this, where it's like,
like your British friends.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My friends in the UK. But so we don't not like her. We just don't like what she did, because we live for things like royal weddings and events and them going out in public and doing things.
Yeah, of course.
So when that's Kate changed,
Middleton is like the poster child for that. Like,
yeah, exactly. So we love her and Willie. Like,
but do you
that's
think
great.
Maybe they just weren't happy in the castle? I mean, I know that's, it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, I think unfortunately Harry probably didn't know better, because it's all he knows, and he was kind of raised with these duties and responsibilities.
Yeah, maybe it was like he got swept up in the moment and like he fell in love and he wanted to.
He's doing everything
himself,
to impress his new wife, so but I have nothing against her specifically. It's more just kind of
The situation.
It and all
like,
got a bit,
do you think what
up.
They put in the media is true, the way they portray her?
No, I don't trust anything with how people get portrayed in the media. I think So. That's why I only watch the BBC or read the BBC because they try and be as unbiased as possible. Even then, I'm sure they're biased. So I
isn't the BBC paid by British taxpayers?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I think they are. I could be wrong, but because one of my professors is obsessed with the BBC and we only use that. And he was telling us about how there's this like debate thing that has been going on for a while because we can consume it for free, like from anywhere in the world, but it actually is funded by UK tax dollars. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'll read up on it. I'll become
Maybe
educated
it's
on
either the BBC or the Guardian. No, it's definitely the BBC.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay, so that's your like primary source of news. And you feel like even if it is biased, it is the most unbiased out of all of them, takes out all the media spin and.
Yeah, I like to think so. Especially American news. I get my American news through the BBC.
Because, really?
Well, okay. So there's not a single news channel in the US that's not biased in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. I mean, they're all biased in one way, shape or form. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, that's interesting though, because you're living in the US. So the fact that you're still getting your media from a non-US source, I mean, maybe
yeah,
it's a better thing because yeah. No, yeah. I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Hmm. Some things that don't change, I guess. You know, like when you move abroad.
Yeah, it's like your habits. Oh yeah.
Certain things that will still like, stay the same.
Totally, totally. So to end kind of on a less political note, but I'm really glad I got the tea from you because I've been wanting to.
I'm not sure how good my tea is. I literally, I've tried to be as
Switzerland as possible about it. No, but I think it's interesting to get your perspective because all like any British person I've asked is they're super polarized on it. And I feel like you're the only like British person I've asked who's like sort of in the middle. Like you respect her as a person. You like,
I like what she stood for.
Yeah,
I really
what she
like
stands
what she stood
for. You just don't like that she took him out of his home basically and ruined kind of this perfect family image.
Yeah. Super superficial.
Yeah. So what's your plan like for the holidays? What is it going to look like for you the next few weeks?
Yeah. So I'm currently in Nashville for a couple of weeks because my parents are moving house right now. And they kindly told me to stay away so they didn't have to stress about me being there.
Yeah, because you
were
saying
unpacking.
They're staying in like a hotel, right? So you would have to basically live out of a hotel.
And as fun as that sounds, I quite like my apartment.
Yeah.
I'll come back down.
It looks so cute and cozy.
Got my Christmas tree. You can see the top of my Christmas tree.
You can see mine too.
Yours is nice. I saw that on your Instagram.
She's very
nice
fluffy.
Tree.
Her name is Chrissy Tregan.
So good.
I made a poll like, can someone help me find a name, please? Like, I was like up at 4 in the morning trying to finish an assignment, but I couldn't. And my friend from high school.
You think maybe that's because you were trying to name your tree?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just finding reasons to escape my assignment. But yeah, she's very happy and fluffy. And it really just makes my apartment feel cozy.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a tree. Wait, can I see it again?
Yeah, let me. There's a tree.
Yeah,
there.
So a little visual description for everyone who's listening. I would say it's like a Nordic fir, maybe 4 feet tall. She's very slim.
Fake tree.
Yeah, a false Nordic fir. She's slim. But
you
she
should
has,
do a Christmas tree podcast. That was a really good description.
She has a little fluff on the bottom. Like she, I'm saying she, I don't know. She looks very feminine to me. Like her trunk is very thin.
Yeah.
And very simple yet majestic.
Yeah. Red and gold ornaments because classic Christmas colors.
Yeah. Is that a British thing or?
Yeah, there's Christmas colors?
Yeah, because basically what I was asking for about your Christmas was like you told me you miss like Christmas in Windsor.
Yeah. That's what I was like at the beginning you were saying how everyone has different Christmases.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
this like English Christmas is so English Christmas is so specific.
Really?
And
I want
I would
to experience
never
it.
Oh, it's awesome. We have like
what's
sausage
like your
favorite?
Some
bacon.
Of your favorite things about it. Ooh, sausage wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, that might be one of my favorite things about it. We have the whole day is set up a
You're
certain
like,
way.
I don't talk to anyone. I just take my sausage wrapped in bacon to my room and eat it.
Let's go sit in the corner and ponder my identity. No, if you ever get the chance to spend Christmas in the UK or in London, definitely do it, because it's different and it's really fun.
Yeah, I like how you said about the each country has different traditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that, which is super, super cool. Do you take any of those traditions? Like, do you think your family will do that this year in Connecticut? Because you're moving to a new house for like just in time for Christmas, right? Wow.
Yeah. We've always done British Christmas living in the US. Like, we've always done it.
That's awesome. So you take it with you, kind of.
Yeah. It's like one of those things that you can kind of do. You can pull it off from the US, which is kind of fun. So we definitely.
Oh my gosh. Wait, we have Marks and Spencer in Paris.
Do you? Oh, man, I miss Marks and Spencer.
Yeah. And I wish, so Leia, my co-host, I wish she was here because she went to St. Andrews for a year. Oh, and that's where she discovered Marks and Spencer. And yeah, it's so great. The food is great.
The PJs. I always get my pajamas.
Okay, so the thing is, I didn't know that they sold like clothes and things like that. Like, I thought it was just food because in Paris they only have the grocery store. But online,
oh, that's depressing.
Yeah, no, it's okay because I'm signed up for the newsletter now. So they send me all the. I feel like it's like our equivalent of Target in the US, or no?
Yeah,
the more niche, more niche of it for people who don't know. It's like kind of a food store, but they have kind of gourmet products from all over the world.
Kind of
department, like you can get soy sauce, but also like British sausage.
Yeah, it's very English in there, actually.
It's very English, and it's funny in Paris because the people who work at the register only speak French.
Yeah, that would throw me off. I think if I ever went to a French Marks and Spencer's, I'd just be like, this is wrong. Like, I just want to say something in really English.
Yeah, accent. Well, I hope you do. You have any plans on coming on a ship? I mean, flying to Europe. That's not what I meant. I meant like you coming here, and we were talking about ships earlier. So I was like, no, that's not please don't take a ship and get lost at sea.
Yeah. I was hoping to come back this Christmas. Yeah. But then obviously COVID's ruining everything.
Yeah. I mean, technically you could still go because you have a British passport, right?
Yeah, but I'd have to stay with my grandparents, and I'm not looking to give them COVID or anything.
Well, if you're ever passing through, I mean, I would love for you to come anyway. And
I haven't been to Paris in a long time.
Dude, you are welcome anytime. I just
moved to Disney
my flat October 1st. But please come anytime. So you're always welcome.
Can we go to Disneyland?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
I always went as a kid.
Oh, really? To Disneyland Paris?
Yeah, because we're in the UK.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that because I have the OG in Anaheim in Orange County.
Yeah,
we can totally go. I mean, to be honest, if you haven't been to any of the others and you love Disney, I would spend money on one of the others. But if you come to Paris, we could definitely go there because it's nostalgic for you.
Yeah, great. Yes. That would be great.
But yeah, this was so nice. I'm so glad we got to catch up.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe do you have any advice for like people who are just, I don't know, maybe spending quarantine alone or still are unsure of holiday plans based on like wanting to keep others safe and themselves safe? Just because you've been moving around so much, even just the past month, how do you kind of like manage it all?
I think mental health is really important. You just gotta definitely. Like, there's something that someone said to me, where it was like, just keep justifying your feelings and keep validating kind of what you're going through. And it kind of does make it weirdly easier. It's like when you're sitting on your own, it's okay to kind of sit there and go, okay, this is tough. And I'm, you know, I don't know what I'm doing and things are all over the place. And kind of say that to yourself in kind of a weird way.
No, that's like, so
it's
true.
It's helped me a lot.
I completely agree. Just
check in with yourself because so much is going on around you that you definitely got to take the time to almost just take an afternoon to do something that you wouldn't normally do and just enjoy it. And just kind of, that's kind of how I go about things. Cause I live on my own. So I'm like, I have to make a conscious effort. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really do have to kind of take the time to say, okay, right.
And to be honest, I suck at that. No, I suck at, like, I think I've gotten better since the second confinement, but I mean, there's still some days where I'm like, shit, this is so hard. Like, I don't know for how much longer I can do this, you know? But I think, like you said, checking in with yourself is really important.
Yep. And I mean, the big overarching thing is you're doing it for the, you know, health and safety of other people.
Yes. So and you're
that's
not
kind
the
of
only
the
person.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, of course. And you're not the only person doing it too.
No, definitely not. It's, yeah. we're all in the same sinking ship.
Yes. So I think we'll wrap up on that note. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so glad we got back in touch.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, this is fun. We'll definitely probably do a follow-up episode sometime.
That'd be fun.
If anyone's interested, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable with my Meghan Markle.
No, not at all. It was funny.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome. Okay, thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Third Culture Kids. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, catching up with Georgina and chatting about her various experiences abroad, what it's like being a third culture kid, and laughing so much, which I feel like this is something we all need right now. Also, we are always looking for guests to interview for our show on their experiences of being a third culture kid, specifically for next season, which will be beginning in January. I can't believe I'm saying this, but next month is going to be a new decade. This is crazy. It's gone by so fast. So if you or someone you know would be interested in coming on our show, as always, we invite you to email us at thirdculturekidsinquiry@gmail.com. Also, I want to wish you a happy holiday and a happy new year. Once again, I would like to shout out our new Instagram account at Third Culture Kids Pod. It's where you can find the most up-to-date info on new episodes behind the scenes. We're going to be posting some bloopers we have from the semester. And I also, shameless plug, just started a blog about my life in Paris. I will put the link to it down below. It would mean a lot if you subscribe to it via the email tab. I'll put everything down below. And not only am I going to be talking about, you know, like my life as a student and things like that, but once we get through the pandemic, I'm going to be posting things about travel tips for students abroad. Even if you're coming to Paris with your family or you're just not sure how to navigate these things, I am going to be sharing just things that I've learned over the years, as well as my new experiences that I've been creating the past year. Thank you so much again for listening to Third Culture Kids Podcast. As always, our show is available on World Radio Paris, as well as Apple Podcasts and all the streaming sites, Spotify. Also, if you are someone who listens through Apple Podcasts, please, if you enjoy the show, it would mean a lot to us if you actually leave a 5-star review and comment, even if you just say, "Hi, Sarah, your voice is super annoying." It actually really helps us like just spread the show to more people because it'll come up in their feed just by you guys leaving 5 stars and a comment. So if you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, which is about 45% of our listenership, it would really, really mean a lot to me if you did that. Also, one thing is that we haven't mentioned before, if you don't use a streaming service, you can listen for free anytime on the Anchor website. There's also an app, and the link is down below. You literally just click the link. Either you can download the app or it'll take you straight to the site, and all of our episodes, everything will be up there. So be sure to like, subscribe, give our show some love, whether you're listening from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or you come to our Instagram page. Thanks again for listening to Third Culture Kids. Happy holidays, everyone. Over and out until next Monday. Bye.